Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, March 20th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Holly Shelowitz of NourishingWisdom.com. Holly's here to talk about healthy cooking with foods that'll give us more energy, keep our immune system kicking, and reduce cravings for junk food. Today she wants to talk all about bitter and sour food. Now, I've been bitter and sour for decades, so this is really in my wheelhouse. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You know, there are benefits to those things. I don't know what they are, but she's going to tell us. 800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Holly Shelowitz, healthy cooking, and your calls right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Holly Shelowitz time, people. Holly is certified nutrition counselor, menopause coach, culinary educator. For more than 25 years, she's guided clients, groups, and organizations to bring nourishment into every aspect of their lives. Her cooking classes teach how to prepare delicious, nutritious food in all seasons. She has served as the Northeast Regional Nutrition Educator for Whole Foods Market, developed global healthy eating education programs, and is on the faculty of the Omega Institute. To ask Holly a question about healthy cooking and boosting the old immune system, etc., give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Holly Shelowitz, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ray. It's spring.
Happy spring. Technically, it is.
We got there. Yeah. We did it.
Did you stick around this winter? It was brutal. It was a brutal winter.
Oh, wow. It was quite the winter.
I'm ready for some warmth.
Yeah. And there are some crocuses and snowdrops starting to pop up. It's a good sign.
What did you do over the course of 6 or 7 weeks of deep, dark winter? What did you do?
Lots of hot baths at night.
Yeah.
Gotta have like Epsom salts baths.
Really? What does the Epsom salt do?
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Softens up your corns, right?
Well, maybe. It's calming. It's relaxing. It's magnesium. So, and we all need magnesium. So many people are deficient in that.
But do you absorb it though?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do absorb it topically.
Interesting.
So relaxing, calming, it's actually gently detoxifying as well. And when you add a little bit of essential oils to the tub, that makes it even more special. So what else? Lots of hot tea.
How long of a bath do you take?
Oh, I've not timed it, but I'm thinking a half hour, 45 minutes. Something,
okay.
So that's a good long stretch.
You got some time to think about things and whatnot.
Exactly. I have a speaker in there, so I have good music going.
You're listening to WAMC, I'm sure.
Not in the tub. I listen all the time, but not in the tub.
I don't listen in the tub either, but there you go. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Holly Shelowitz today. And, you said you had a new website?
I do.
Well, same. It's the same.
Okay. Oh, wow. This has been a fabulous 6-month process working with an amazing team. And it's beautiful. There's a recipe section. So there's lots of recipes for everyone to look through. There's so much information on there about healthy eating, healthy cooking. I'm very excited.
So it's still at nourishingwisdom.com.
Yes.
But it's all spanking new.
It's all spanking
new. I'll have to check that out. All right, fair enough. Are you still doing the online cooking classes?
I am. In fact, there's one coming up. What is the date? In next week.
Today's the 20th.
So I know that.
Oh.
27th.
Okay.
A week from tonight.
Right.
We are doing an online cooking class, and we'll be making something called fish and papillote, or we can also use tofu for the vegetarians.
What's papillote?
It's called en papillote, which is that you put your protein and veggies and some sauce and spices, and you wrap it in parchment paper and then bake it. And all of the flavors meld together, and it makes the all of everything tastes so good, and it's a fun way to do it. It's like you're doing this little art project, and then you get to eat it.
So what goes in this art project?
So in this one, there'll be either fish or tofu.
Right.
There'll be
what
layers.
Kind of fish?
We are going to use cod, probably.
Delicious.
But you can use salmon,
yeah,
or you can use tofu. But
okay,
yeah, this one will be cod.
All right.
And then there'll be a sauce. So it could be pesto. It could be a mustard sauce. It could be any kind of flavored sauce that we make. And then you layer it with veggies. So it's really nice to put string beans in there or asparagus. And then you wrap up this package in a very particular way.
What do you mean?
Well,
you got to explain it now.
You take this like parchment paper. And so on the bottom of the parchment paper, you're layering your protein and veggies and sauce and herbs and spices. And then you fold the paper together in a very particular way so that none of the juices escape and all of the moisture stays in the package.
Yeah.
It sounds wild. It's a French culinary way, and it is it's delicious.
Well, you know, I'm not a chef. I'm not even a foodie, but couldn't you just put it in a covered dish?
You could, but there's something about the parchment packet that is so airtight that all of the flavors stay in there, and it's just yummy. We'll have to do it.
So this is the online cooking class next week. So
yeah,
how long will you take teaching people how to fold something in a very special way? Because you still didn't describe it. So,
well, it's hard to describe. It's a visual experience,
okay,
this part. Which is, so the class is on Zoom, and so I have my camera close to the cutting board so people can see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then they do it at home. So we're all cooking together at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is great fun. And
can you
and
hear
then there's
people?
A couple
when,
I can.
When,
well,
when?
I can monitor it so that it's not super noisy, but yeah, they can unmute and ask questions. It's really such a great thing. Like you can see everyone in their home kitchens on all the tiles. And so people are there with their kids, people are there with their partners, people are there on their own cooking, and it's really sweet. And then we all eat together.
Do you ever see any knockdown, drag out fights between family members while you
not.
No? Because that would be entertaining. You record that, you put it on YouTube, gold, Holly Shelowitz. Gold. Our guest today is Holly Shelowitz, 800-348-2551. At the top of the show, we talked a little bit about bitter and sour. And
yes,
this is in your talking points for today. Now, bitter and sour, ostensibly something you might want to avoid from a taste profile.
This is
flavor
profile.
You.
So bitter foods, let's talk about what does that even mean? So foods like arugula, watercress, radicchio, or even lettuce can have a bitter flavor. Any of the cruciferous vegetables, that bitter flavor literally gets our juices flowing.
Yeah.
So this time of year, spring is the time that in Chinese medicine and in other theories, there's each season correlates to a different organ system. And so in the spring, it's about our liver, gallbladder.
You're kidding me.
I am not. So pay close attention.
Oh, boy.
So when
season.
We are eating, when you include, and I really encourage including some bitter and sour foods, and we're going to talk all about that.
Cool.
You know, coffee is a bitter food, by the way, so I'm not going to be talking about anything massively radical.
Okay.
I think that's a big reason why so many people love coffee is that intuitively there is that bitter flavor, and our liver and gallbladder really love that flavor because it literally gets our juices flowing. So let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, we have 2 minutes before the break.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead, get started.
So over the winter, we're eating a lot we're eating heavier foods, which we should be doing to be warm and feel satisfied and comforted. It's still cold out, so we're not like breaking away from soup or anything yet. But during this time and this season, we want to eat the foods that are going to support and nourish our liver and gallbladder. Because so we've all heard of fatty liver, and it's very easy for folks to have some stagnation in their body. So they're like not going to the bathroom as often as would be ideal.
Okay.
And so bitter foods, and so that could be the sour foods are like lemon, lime, and, you know, squeezing lemon in your water in the morning, first thing in the morning, really is like a nice awakening. It gives you a little vitamin C. It wakes up your intestines. Your body's like, okay, I'm ready to start digesting. And then there's things like bitters. A lot of people know about including bitter foods like ginger and turmeric, and even apple cider vinegar has that like tart flavor.
Yeah.
All of those foods, along with other herbs and spices, cilantro, parsley, Brussels sprouts, even asparagus, all that bitter flavor keeps our intestines moving and keeps our gets bile flowing. And
but the intestines have no taste buds. So what's in it in the, say, the asparagus that gets those juices flowing? Intestinal yeah. juices, it's not exactly what you want to talk about during a food show.
Okay,
but anyway,
we're
going to
shift
ahead,
away from that. Okay,
well,
don't worry, because there's some really good food that I made for you.
Good. we'll tell you what, let's talk about the juices for another minute, and then we'll take a break, and it'll be a reset. Holly Shelowitz is here, 800-348-2551. Go ahead.
All right, okay, so... why are we eating bitter foods?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking me? Like,
yeah.
Why is she even talking about bitter foods?
Well, I mean, is there a nutritional aspect that makes it bitter that makes everything happy?
So you know how, like, when you think about a lemon and you think about the taste of a lemon, that it literally gets the saliva flowing, and that's what happens in the body. So digestion begins in our mouth. The food's moving through, and then it is... encouraging our digestive juices to do the work. A lot of times, it's so common to eat without fully chewing our food, to rush through eating, and the body has to do a lot of work to digest. And sometimes that can accumulate in the body, which is a big part of why some people can get, have issues with their liver and gallbladder. And so what we're doing when we're incorporating bitter foods, and I've got some for you today.
All right, well, yeah, unveil those after the break, but
okay.
You can wrap up this thought, and then we'll take a break.
So the reason why we do that is to encourage why do our intestines even care?
Right.
It doesn't have a flavor.
Right.
Right. It encourages digestive enzymes and digestive juices to be helping the food digest.
Ah, okay, well, that's a simple answer. Let's take a quick break here. Holly Shelowitz joins us. It's healthy food that's tasty and good for you and slightly bitter, slightly sour, and we'll be back. Now back over to me. It's Food Friday, 800-348-2551. You know, this is Mike Bowen. This plate of food is so bitter and so sour.
Oh, come on.
And
it's
so wonderful. My intestines are singing right now. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Holly Shelowitz joins us. Should I not talk about this yet?
You can absolutely talk
this
about
it. This is awesome. This carrot apple salad is tremendous.
Okay.
Do
there
tell.
We go. You know, I'm always scared to give Ray food because you never know what's going to happen. But okay.
I generally eat meat all day,
yeah,
so this
exactly.
is great.
All right. So in this salad, I have shredded carrots, shredded ginger and turmeric, fresh ginger and turmeric that are great for your immune system. Gently cleansing.
Okay. Nature's whisk broom again, huh? Okay, that's fine.
A little olive oil, and I added some chopped apples so that sweetness in it.
That's the only dressing?
That's it.
Brilliant. This is great and
great.
Extremely delicious. And
I'm so happy. And he's not jiving you.
No, it's good. I'm going to have more in a little bit. But I mean, so this is something that you would pair with what?
So this is a great side salad that you would serve with anything, literally. So let's say a typical meal might be a protein and veggies. I know a lot of people are eating grains or starch. You would just have this on the side.
Yeah.
And when you're starting to eat with this season, which I really do encourage, by adding in these like gently bitter and sour tart foods, you just use it as an accompaniment for anything with anything that you're eating.
And I love this.
I'm so glad.
It doesn't hit you over the head. It's not too tart. It's not too
sour.
No,
it's subtle.
It's really nice.
Yeah, and the apple really helps with that.
What kind of apples?
This is a Fuji.
Ah.
Yeah.
I like the Fuji.
So they're nice and sweet and crunchy. It's mostly, just so that everybody knows, it's mostly the carrots, ginger, and turmeric, and especially plenty of lemon. And then the apples add in that sweet flavor.
Yeah. Now, do you cut all these by hand?
No, I love to use my food processor.
Really? Oh,
in
do
fact,
tell.
Yeah. So, oh, it's just a dream. So you don't have to go out and buy a food processor, but if you have one, there's a blade for this particular salad. There's a shredding blade. So you can put the entire carrot in, no cutting. You just like wash and then chop the ends off. And for those of you who have been in my classes or have been listening here, save those bits and pieces of the carrots and the celery and everything else. What do? We put them in a stock bag, a Ziploc or a plastic bag to put in the freezer. And then when that bag is full with all of your bits and pieces, parts of onions, carrots,
tops
celery,
of the carrots and everything else.
Yes.
Really?
It makes a really great stock. And if you eat chicken, then you save the chicken bones and you include those. You boil them all together and you have this beautiful soup stock that you can drink as tea or you can use as a base in your soups. And you're adding good immune boosting ingredients and then also great flavor. Our ancestors didn't throw away food like we do here.
Yeah.
So I'm really for all the years I've been teaching, I'm always teaching about how to minimize food waste. And anyway, I digress, but I just wanted you to know
digression.
That like with the, for the food processor, you're just putting the whole carrot right through and it's shredded.
Is great.
I'm so happy.
How are there days when Holly Shalowitz, and you seem like a really healthy person, so I assume you practice very much what you preach.
I do.
Are there days when you just want a nice T-bone steak or?
Why are you saying that that's not healthy?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
You said that. You've implied that. You've inferred.
No, absolutely.
All right.
For me personally, if that's what you're asking, protein is a really important part of each meal that I'm eating. So protein and veggies is the way that I tend to eat with some, every now and then, a grain. But in the classes that I teach, especially for women in midlife, we need to start shifting that and because our body composition starts to change.
So what, more calcium and more we need dairy products and whatnot?
Yeah, more dairy. Well, not more dairy so much as it's really common for weight gain to be happening in midlife. More for, it happens with men too, but especially for women as our hormonal things changing. And so protein is really important for strengthening our bones. Veggies are really important for the fiber, for the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, and starting to minimize those carbohydrates, because a big part of the work that I do with men and women is how to manage blood sugar balance. That's really a thing as we get into midlife, whether you're a man or a woman, like the blood sugar levels start to creep up and the cholesterol starts to creep up.
Yeah.
And so we want to, so these veggies actually, the bitter sour foods that we're talking about will really help also, it helps to break down accumulated fats and cholesterol in the body. The cholesterol we don't want as much of.
So there's fiber in this carrot?
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean,
you see how you're chewing that?
Fiber. They talk about, you know, when you have blood sugar issues, that, you know, if you eat something with a lot of sugar, you're going to want something with a lot of fiber to balance. There's a ratio there.
Right.
Anyway, this salad's great.
I'm so glad.
Remember when we did that show about menopause? Boy, that was a good one, huh?
Yeah. Careful what you're saying.
Let's not do that. 800-348-2551 is our number. Holly Shelowitz is our guest. Let's go to Lake George, and it's either Cherry or Shari. What is your name?
My name is Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. What? I didn't see the L there. Anyway, go ahead. You're on.
I love the idea of the salad. I heard of a similar salad where you shred raw beet. And it's such a pretty salad, raw beet and apple. It's pretty pink.
That's great. Beautiful.
So good. You have a question, Cherry? Cheryl?
Nope. I just wanted to throw that in because it's delicious as well.
Thank you very
much. That's great.
Ordinarily, there's a question and then I can chew, but I had to go right back
with my mouthful. So I can also say
that
we can add different things to this salad. So when you're feeling adventurous, you can add some shaved fennel, fresh fennel bulb in that you can get at the grocery store.
Right.
You can add some shredded daikon radish or turnips, you know, to add a little bit more bitter to this salad, and it'll get hidden by all of the other ingredients, and then you're getting some extra good juju.
I love that the combo, and I don't think I've ever had this, with lemon and carrot and apple.
Great.
The lemon juice is like a great thing.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So glad.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz is our guest. And let's see here. Oh, our buddy in Schenectady's on. Joan, go ahead.
Hello and good afternoon.
Hello.
Ray, I'm so happy you're eating your vegetables. Woohoo!
I know. And you know what? I've had more than one mouthful, so it's been pretty good.
I'm impressed. Holly, congratulations. You got Ray to eat.
My mission is to make
it.
Food that Ray will enjoy.
Yes.
So far, so good, pretty much after all these years. I don't think there's been anything that he has said, no.
No, not yet. Well,
You set a high bar and you made it.
There were a couple things over the years on this show where I've said that, but not that.
Oh, but not for me. Not
for
on
Holly.
My show.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So what's up?
I wanted to congratulate or just second yay to Epsom salt baths. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
If you love yourself,
really
get some Epsom salts and bathe. Scent the water, light a few candles, play some good music.
You're going to come out of that bath.
So you have to love yourself. So if you despise yourself, just don't bother.
No.
You know what?
Oh, well, maybe if you did that, Ray, you would start to love yourself.
I love myself just fine.
He does.
But I'm not that crazy about baths, you know? But anyway, listen.
No, they're not for everybody.
I like to tease you. Okay, here's some advice I can use, Holly.
Okay.
I was just given a secondhand bread maker from a neighbor, and so far I have made a cake using a boxed cake thing that I had in my cabinet. So, yay, I can make a cake with it. But there's got to be really good things I can do with a bread maker that, you know, isn't... I don't want a lot of the carbs.
Okay.
But I love a good whole grain bread or anything that's going to involve all the delicious veggies you're talking about.
Devil's advocate, if you're avoiding carbs, bread makers are probably not the best plan. But I bet Holly Shelowitz has a very reasonable answer for you.
Oh, boy. You know, I was going to say the same thing. If carbs are not your friend, then a bread maker might not be your best kitchen appliance. I have never used one, so I don't have any words of wisdom for you. But I know that there's a lot of recipes on the web, and there's ways to, you'd have to really find a recipe that you can adapt, because baking is really science.
Right. Yes, it is.
But there are ways to add seeds and nuts and some other veggies maybe to the bread, but that's not my area.
You know what, Joan, you could do, and we've done this in our house with a bread maker over the years. You make a nice pizza dough with it, and then you put your veggies and keep it as low carb as you can, and
you
have some slices of pizza on that thing. Delicious.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be finding that useful, because my arthritis makes mixing together doughs and stuff by hand more and more challenging. So that's a great idea, Ray.
There you go. Well, Joan, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Holly Shelowitz Day, and we're cleaning out our intestines, are happy, and the liver is feeling real good. What else did you bring?
Okay, so I also made, this is, so cabbage can be one of those veggies that people do not eat very often because they're like, what do I do with this? How do I make it taste good?
Right.
So this is sauteed cabbage.
Okay.
With cumin seed and coriander.
Okay.
Those are two, I'll say more Indian spices.
Okay. Yeah, I've had them.
And they also get your juices flowing. So let's talk about flowing juices for a minute.
Here we go again. Look at the time. Yeah, all right. Fine.
So you know how when you go and when you've eaten Indian food or Japanese food or Korean food, that let's say in the restaurant, you're served various condiments.
Yeah.
So each one of those condiments, so indigenous cultures know the importance of supporting digestion. Each one of those condiments has a purpose. And so even in like, you know, when we're in Europe and there's like when there's condiments being served, so there can be a yogurt sauce if you're in an Indian restaurant, various chutneys, all of those things support digestion by getting your juices flowing.
Right.
Korean food, kimchi, it's a naturally fermented food that is what's in there. Primarily, it's different kinds of cabbage and radishes. And again, all of these foods support liver and gallbladder.
But those are fermented foods, right? You put them in a jar in the ground for several years,
that's
right?
That's the kimchi.
Yeah.
But then there's other condiments that are not fermented. But that's a whole other food category where fermented foods also support digestion. Check it out, Ray.
Like beer?
Talking about, well, I don't know if that supports digestion, but it is fermented. You got me on that.
Yeah.
And so think about, like, you know how traditionally hot dogs and sauerkraut, hamburgers and pickles, salsa is served with Mexican food.
Yeah.
Each one of those are condiments that are meant to support the digestion because you're eating a heavier protein with it.
Okay, so this makes sense to me.
Good.
Yes. What else you got?
What else you got in this container?
Whatever
or
else
in
you
general?
Want to say. We got three
okay,
minutes
good.
Before the break.
Oh, I have a lot to say.
Okay.
All right. And so when, so it's more, so I was talking about the cumin seed and the coriander, that they're flavorful, but all of these different herbs and spices also are very helpful. Same reason. Get your juices flowing, support your liver, support digestion. So in this container, this might be a little fragrant once I open
that's
it. Don't
fine.
Be afraid.
You know what? Lucas Willard is on in about an hour, and he won't care, right? He loves cabbage.
So like I said, it's sauteed cabbage in a little olive oil.
Look, it's purple.
Yeah.
What kind of cabbage
is that? It's red cabbage.
It's red cabbage.
Yeah.
It's not red. It's purple.
Well, purple cabbage. Okay.
Oh, it is fragrant. Sorry, Lucas.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And then I could taste it, and if it's too bitter, I could add a drizzle of maple syrup, which
are you going to have any?
I am.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
So now I need you to say something while I turn the mic off and
okay,
chew.
Good.
This is raw cabbage, right?
No, sauteed.
All right, talk to me.
Sauteed cabbage, and when you cabbage on its own, it's really nice. If you want to add it to a salad, you want to chop it really fine. When you saute it, it really softens. And you can, my original idea was to add some caraway seeds, but I was out. So instead I went with the cumin and coriander. Is it too bitter?
It is amazing. And I'm not joking. It is delicious.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to hear that.
You don't need to change a thing with that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So there's lots of flavor. It's very simple. There isn't, I'll put the recipe up on my blog for everyone who will ask for it.
Love this.
Oh, I'm so glad. And you are loving your liver by eating that.
Actually, I thought my liver was dead several years ago, but I just heard it say something for the first time in a long time. So this
is great.
We want
to do things that will love your liver.
You know
we
what?
Do.
I love this meal, and my liver is saying, thank you. Oh, gosh, I'm still alive. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We have people on the line who want to talk to Holly Shelowitz about the cabbages and the bitters and the sours. We'll be back. So, you know, I've mentioned this every show, and I'll probably do it for the next month, but I have to tell you that the Vox Pop Gardening Show is heading out on the road next month to the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York. It's Earth Day, April 22nd at 2 p.m. We'll be recording a live gardening show with the Gardening All-Stars. You can ask them in person. We'll tape it. We'll make it into a radio show, which we will run on Memorial Day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fred Breglia, Dale Isla Riggs, Greg Ward, yours truly. You can be in the audience. You can ask questions for this live recorded Vox Pop Landis Arboretum Earth Day, April 22nd. Tickets and info available at wamc.org/on the road. What fun we are going to have, I tell you. Holly Shelowitz, this cabbage. You know, listen, I got to be honest with you. It's not a regular on my table.
I understand.
Very delicious. And here's what it would be great with. With your seasonings.
Yeah.
And we'll go over that again. It would go great on a burger.
I love it.
Just put a little mustard on the top.
It's fantastic.
And make the crunch and everything else and the subtle taste perfect on a burger.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love it.
Did you say
guess what? Yes. Mustard originally was a fermented food. Now it is still fermented because there's vinegar in it, but it's different. So you know how when you're in the grocery store or the natural food store, you'll see sauerkraut in the refrigerator section,
yeah,
and then there's sauerkraut on the shelf.
Yeah.
The sauerkraut and pickles and kimchi that are refrigerated without vinegar in them are called lacto-fermented foods. When we eat those foods, they provide excellent bacteria for the gut, good bacteria, kind of like what yogurt does, exactly,
yeah,
except it's not dairy. And so incorporating these fermented foods, like the examples I was giving earlier, where traditionally hamburgers and pickles, hot dogs and sauerkraut, kimchi with the Korean food, and on,
yeah.
These fermented foods help to support digestion, and we have gotten away from doing that. And indigenous cultures know the importance of supporting our digestion.
So when did we forget about it in this culture?
Convenience, speed.
Yeah.
You know, because like I teach classes on making your own fermented foods, which
yeah,
is actually a really cool process. But it takes time, you know, so when you combine cabbage and salt and herbs and spices, it could take a couple of months until it's ready,
yeah,
to really enjoy. But you can make things like salsa and make it a lacto-fermented food, which would then be even more supportive for
fermented
digestion.
Fermented salsa.
Yeah.
Now let's just go to the phone. 800-348-2551. Christine is in Tivoli. Christine, you're on with Holly Shelowitz.
Oh, hi, guys. Happy first day of spring. Thanks for taking my call.
You too. Go ahead.
I called to talk a little bit about radicchio, which is my favorite bitter food to eat. And I have to say I eat a head of radicchio, especially this time of year, probably every day.
Great. Wow.
It's so good, you know, and I sit down, I make what I kind of like think of as my fiber trough, right? And so it balances my blood sugar for the day. It leaves me really satiated, but it's a whole head of radicchio, an apple, and even in the winter when radicchio is easier to find if it's coming from Italy, right? That's when all the local purveyors are using the Italian radicchio.
Yeah.
You know, if you actually combine that with the height of blueberry season in Peru and Chile, right, you've got a really nice sweetness with the blueberries and the apple and a little bit of soft goat cheese to cut through that bitterness of the radicchio.
Mm.
It's just so nice and really refreshing all winter long. But this is like the time of year when I start to mourn the end of radicchio, because locally we're going to start seeing all the local farms having more of their radicchio available. But once we hit those warmer months, it's going to disappear off the shelf. And so we're kind of in that sweet spot right now where we have all the imported radicchio. And I've got, like, my local haunts where I know where I can find radicchio. Like, MX Morningstar Farm in Hudson, they've got, like, three types of radicchio. And I think
oh, that's good to know. Yeah. I was going to ask you where you're getting it from Tivoli. So you're driving to Hudson. You know,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I go to Hudson.
It's interesting that it's a less common food here in the Hudson Valley area. I mean, I know we're not in the Hudson Valley here, but like for us, you and I, we're I'm from also Saugerties area. So like radicchio isn't like a common vegetable that's grown here. Hopefully we'll get some farmers calling to say, hey, we grow it.
Yeah.
So for Wouldn't those that don't know, it's them. Like a tender, it's kind of like a small, it's not a cabbage, but it's like a more tender leafed cabbage lettuce combo that's red and definitely bitter, beautiful, bitter food. And that's a great combo that you're making. And then the addition of the apples and then even the blueberries too, like you say, is cutting through the bitterness, but your body is still getting it. It's kind of like what I did with the apples and the carrots.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thanks, Christine. Appreciate the call very much. How big is a head of radicchio?
It's like about that big. I don't know. What do we say? Like about the size of a grapefruit.
Softball kind of.
Yeah.
So Christine eats a whole head of that every day. That's a lot of radicchio. I mean, are there any side effects?
Only good.
Really?
Only good side effects. She's
so
getting
the
all
juices
the fiber.
Are just
Her
rolling.
Juices are flowing.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Congratulations, Christine.
I got to tell you, plug for Chef Rick. When he had New World, he had this amazing Hudson Valley salad that just rocked everyone's world. And it was a combination of different lettuces, and then he pickled onions, and then some crunchy roasted hazelnuts, and then he also had some cheese in there. It was like an amazing salad where he combines all these different flavors and textures and...
What, that was called the Hudson Valley?
I think it was called the Hudson Valley
salad.
Rick,
next time he's on.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Just really great.
Well, yeah, Holly Shelowitz is our guest today, and it's bitter, and it's sour, and it's wonderful. And let's go to Scott in Woodstock. Scott, you're on.
Hi, this is Scott from Woodstock. I have a question.
Okay.
My girlfriend and I'm 60 years old. My girlfriend and I have been getting really into aperitifs and even digestifs, particularly bitters, and the more bitter, the better.
Great.
And I'm wondering if there's any connection to what you're talking about on the food side and on the beverage side.
That's a great question. John Fisher was on not too long ago, and we had a little chat about bitters, but I have no idea the answer to this question.
Yeah, this is great. Depends on which bitters you're using, but bitters are commonly used, like, sometimes you can take it in a tincture form and you add it to your water. There are, like he was saying, aperitifs where you just pour a little bit and drink it before eating, where it the job of an herbal bitter or an aperitif is literally to get your digestive juices flowing so that you can easily digest your meal. So a lot of herbalists make and sell their own digestive bitters where you take various bitter herbs and infuse it in either vinegar or alcohol.
Okay. Why are you looking at me that way?
He's waking up. Ah. No. And then you take either, depending on how it's made, a few dropperfuls of that, or like you're saying, a small glassful. And I don't know what's in your bitters, but there's, you know, it's an ancient remedy that is, you know, many of us still do.
There's plenty of alcohol in a lot of these bitters.
Well, that's the base of it.
Yeah.
But you can also get one that's in a vinegar base.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, what's your favorite bitter aperitif right now?
I mean, you know, it starts with Negronis, which you know, has gin and all sorts of other stuff, which is probably not very good for you. But, you know, Campari is the classic bitter that they drink in Europe, but they started adding artificial red dye to it. So I started down a rabbit hole of, you know, different bitters that are, you know, naturally colored with a beetle. actually. And there's just so many varieties, and I had no idea. And
cool.
Even in the United States now, they're making craft, you know, mm-hmm. bitter sipping vermouths, is a
yeah.
similar
yeah.
thing, et cetera.
Well,
and
listen, you can even make your own, too, which is, I think, because you're so into it, I think that would be really fun, too.
Next time John Fisher is on, Scott, we will have, feel free to call in. And he loves talking about bitters. And so this will be a conversation you guys can have. I'll read the racing form. It'll be fine. Thank you. 800-348-2551. And let's go to Richard in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Richard, you're on with Holly Shelowitz.
Hello. Thank you. Happy spring.
And to
Yay,
you.
You too.
And you were mentioning about cabbage. My girlfriend is very into kimchi.
Oh, great.
And this one product that she likes, you know, the ingredients are cabbage, carrots, green onions, sea salt, sweet red crushed red peppers, sea salt, garlic, and leek, and ginger.
Great. Fabulous.
And it's made locally.
Is that
the
Hawthorne Valley?
The brand.
Is that Hawthorne Valley? It sounds like that's there.
It's in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
It's a company in Vermont, Waterbury. Mm-hmm. But she claims, you know, you got to have it every day, and it does wonderful things for your digestion.
I agree, 100%.
Huh.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Do you have it too, Richard, or just your girlfriend?
No, I do too. In fact, I called up. I think a couple makes it, and I called him up because I had one jar that I thought it was going to explode.
Oh boy!
And I thought maybe, it's not good for you. And he said, no. It's just sometimes we stuff the jars too much, and they really
exactly.
expand. But it's all good for you.
It's alive. It's literally like.
In fact, I have a jar in front of me that was from 24.
Wow.
And
vintage.
It's still good.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Well, that's great, man. Richard, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Years ago, Holly, I did a show on fermented foods.
Mm.
And it was very interesting. People are into that stuff.
Yeah.
And the people who were on the show, I forget who it was, but they're young people.
That's
very
great.
Earnest about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It was
that's
serious
great.
Business.
Yeah. That's great.
Our number is 800-348-2551. It's our friend Holly Shelowitz, and we go to Angela in Albany. Hello, Angela.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, talking about fermented foods,
yeah,
I noticed that so many of them are loaded with sodium. I have a jar now in the refrigerator of that purple cabbage.
Yeah. Mm.
And it does have an awful lot of sodium. Over 1,000 milligrams, and I rinsed it, soaked it, rinsed it, and it still tasted very salty to me. Mm. So, what would be brands, or if you could
that's
say,
that's a tricky one. So, salt is the medium that helps to ferment and pull the liquid out of all of the vegetables that are fermenting. It also prevents, but it should never taste too salty. So, so that might be a just kind of an odd batch, but in general, sea salt is what's used in like when a company, a small farm usually is making their own fermented foods, they're using good quality sea salt. I know salt gets a bad rap for a lot of people. But I would say try a different one and see if you have a different experience, because it could just be that jar or that batch. But there will be salt in any kind of fermented vegetable, sauerkraut, pickles, mm-hmm. kimchi, cabbage, any of that
mm-hmm.
will have salt in it. But maybe for you, if that's an area of sensitivity, then maybe it's better for you to stick more with the fermented dairy, like yogurt?
No, I can't really do
dairy. Oh, can't do dairy, yeah.
Mostly vegan and stuff
I hear
like that.
Yeah, so have you had that experience with other jars or only that particular one?
actually, to be honest, that particular one.
Yeah, I would try a different one because don't rinse it. I mean, that just seems like a lot of work, and it sounds like it didn't make a difference. So, but what you can do rather than tossing that is the next time you make sautéed vegetables or soup or something, you can, instead of adding salt, you can add that to it. And I would add
it
at the end of cook. Okay, great. So yeah, you don't want to cook that because when you heat it, it destroys the beneficial enzymes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
exactly. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck, and we appreciate the call. How much sodium do you eat?
I don't measure it. I mean, I don't eat anything that's salty per se, but I am adding salt to all of my food because it makes the food taste better
and
brings flavor. There's a particular salt that I recommend. It's called Redmond's Real Salt.
Oh, we talked about this before, yeah.
And it is a really high mineral salt that you don't need very much at all. For those of you that are using a very common brand salt, may I say it?
There are any number of common brand salts. We know the one you're thinking of, so we'll just move on.
All right. So if you're using that salt, you know, Blue Label.
Right.
Read the ingredients, y'all. There's sugar in it. There's
sugar
chemicals in it.
In the salt.
It's bad.
Why?
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
I'm glad you didn't say the name because you just said it was bad.
Okay.
And we get sued.
Okay.
And it's
we don't
Holly
want that.
Shelowitz with one L.
We don't want that with one L. Yeah. Yeah. So you want to use a good quality mineral rich sea salt that is not going to make your food taste salty.
Okay.
We don't want that.
Fair enough. But I guess anything fermented has salt, is what you're saying?
Any fermented vegetable does have salt.
I'll be dipped. Mm-hmm. Okay. the number here is 800-348-2551. Only a couple of minutes left here. We have some calls coming in. If, Jim, we can get to line one here, we'll just go with it. If you can release that one. Otherwise, it's just you and me.
Huh? All right. I have a lot
There's
to
Linda.
Say.
All right. Very quickly, Linda, go ahead. Poughkeepsie. Go.
Hello. Hi. On the note of kimchi, I would love to try to incorporate that daily, but can't handle a hot pepper anymore. Mm. I was wondering if it would still do it with less hot pepper in it, if I made my own.
If you made your own, I mean, there are so many fermented foods that you can enjoy. If the hot peppers aren't doing it for you, technically it's not really kimchi, but there's sauerkraut,
right.
There's pickles, there's like a fermented carrots and ginger. There are so many ways that you can enjoy the benefits of fermented foods. You can make your own, certainly, and then just eliminate the hot peppers. But it'll be a fermented kraut more than a kimchi.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind what it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to know if
it's absolutely. It's not an integral ingredient
okay.
in terms of it not coming out well. It'll
right.
just, yeah, and then you can use, make it your way.
Okay, Linda, thanks a lot. Interestingly, many of my ancestors were fermented krauts, but that's a different story. All right, listen, Holly Shelowitz, how, in fact, do people find you? You have an online cooking class a week from today. How do people look up Holly Shelowitz?
Okay, best way is to go to my brand spanking new website, nourishingwisdom.com. When you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get recipes from me and lots of good stuff. There's also recipes on my blog that you can find on Instagram. It's Nourishing Wisdom Official. And on Facebook, my name, Holly Shelowitz. Come visit.
You're great. You know, you're one of the only people who can make eating cabbage and cut up carrots fun.
Oh,
so,
I'm
so good
glad.
For you, Holly Shelowitz. We'll see you soon, right?
Thanks so much, Ray.
Support comes from River Valley Co-op, featuring local and organically grown groceries in Northampton and East Hampton. More information at rivervalley.coop. Eighth Step, presenting folk performer Tom Chapin with the Chapin Sisters, introducing his new album in concert, 7:30 p.m. Saturday, March 21st, GE Theater. Details at eighthstep.org. And Real Pickles, a worker-owned cooperative in Greenfield, Massachusetts, producing organic fermented vegetables sourced from Northeast farms and found throughout the Northeast. realpickles.com. Thanks again to Holly Shelowitz. That's one L in Shelowitz for joining us today. You can reach her at nourishingwisdom.com. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. She'll be back with something that is good for you. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Jim Mountier screened the calls. Thanks, Jim. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Saturday, and I'm going to sleep, hopefully. See you Monday at 2.